from a word mystery to a number mystery. A few months ago, motorists on the 101 freeway in Silicon Valley saw this puzzle written in parentheses on a billboard. First 10-digit prime found in consecutive digits of E. Now, if any driver knew the answer, that person was directed to log onto a web address that was the 10-digit answer to the puzzle, followed by a .com. The puzzle was a recruiting device for the internet search engine Google. Call it mathematical Darwinism. Google, Microsoft, and other high-tech companies have long used logic and math problems to find or reject potential employees. Our math guy, Keith Devlin, joins us now from the studios of Stanford University in Palo Alto. Keith, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Scott. Good to be here.
First of all, what's the answer? Oh, you think you're, okay. You think your charming laugh is okay. Going to get you out of this, isn't it?
Okay, the answer to the puzzle on the billboard is 7,427,466,391. I didn't work that out in my head. In fact, I actually got it by doing a Google search, quite honestly. But, but the people who did it first did it by just a computer search. You take this number E, yeah, which is one of the two most important mathematical constants, along mm-hmm. with pi. E is one of those numbers like pi that if you work out its decimal expansion, it goes on forever. It begins 2.7182, goes on forever. And you just start looking at all of the 10-digit sequences through that on a computer, checking each one to see if it's prime, and eventually you find a prime. And I guess quite a lot of people did that.
Did it cause any accidents? I mean,
whether they actually tried to do it while they were driving, I doubt it. They would need to go home and get their computers whirring on this thing. Then what happened was if they actually did log on to that that .com site, they were presented with another puzzle, and if they then solved that puzzle, that took them to a Google recruiting page which said, send us your CV. By the way, that page is no longer active, so if people try to do it now, they won't get any further than that entry page.
Mm. What other sorts of tests do companies, particularly in that area, use to try and find talent or weed out people who may not measure up?
Well, you know, in fact, high-tech companies in Silicon Valley and elsewhere have been using mathematical and logical puzzles since at least the 1950s in order to try and help recruit people and weed out personnel applicants. Microsoft is famed for having asked puzzles to its potential applicants, often quite difficult puzzles. It's not actually clear. I mean, educational psychologists have looked at it. It's not exactly clear that this really is an effective way of screening applicants. But it certainly does create an image of a company as being very demanding of intellectual talent.
Well, you have some other puzzles there, I gather, that companies are using. Try us.
Okay, so here's one that apparently Microsoft has used in its interviewing in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You have to imagine an old-fashioned clock which has two hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it's at 12 o'clock, the hour hand and the minute hand is directly on top of the hour hand.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how many times a day does it happen that the minute hand is right over the hour hand? And how would you, in fact, determine the exact times of the day that this occurs? So how many times a day is the minute hand right over the hour hand? And at what times of the day does that happen?
It happens 144, and it happens every hour and 5 minutes.
Good start. And I guess if I was interviewing you for a job, Scott, I would say, well, let's pursue this, because by the time it's gone round 1 hour and the 5 minutes, you know, it had gone round to the one, it was a little bit ahead of that, but that's the way it would start.
If you were interviewing me for a job, you'd say, maybe we have something in food services. and I'd be pleased to work there. But what am I missing?
No, that's the way to start it.
Yeah, okay.
That really is the way to start. That actually is one of the easier ones that you're likely to find. I was being very kind with that.
I come close to scratching the surface, and you flick it away as one of the easier ones. All right.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that Ted Kaczynski could have answered all of these questions, and I hesitated. And Keith, which one would you rather have in the cubicle next to you?
Oh, I wouldn't want Ted Kaczynski. I certainly don't want the Unabomber in a cubicle next to me. Thank you very much. That would be a very small cubicle anyway, of course, these days.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right. A small cubicle with cold water and a lead bed, as they say.
Right.
Well, Keith, thanks very much.
Okay, my pleasure, Scott, as usual.
Keith Devlin, Executive Director of the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University.